morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. We're so happy that you have joined us today. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first is if you have an announcement that you would like put in the September Valley, please email it to Lynn at some point this week so she can get that together. Second announcement is I would like to introduce you to our student intern for next year, Christian Moreland. Hello. She has come to worship today to kind of observe the service before she's leading it, and she'll also be joining us at the picnic. So if you have a chance, say hi to her as she's here, but she will be joining us September 6th is her first Sunday. Final thing is I have a few announcements regarding the picnic that I want to share with you. I will reiterate them when we're over in McFadden, but just share them now. So the deacons have asked that you enter McFadden on the left-hand side, so that's the door that's closest to you, and that you exit the door on the right. So we're kind of going in one door and out another one. When you get to McFadden, please take a seat at one of the tables. The quicker that everyone takes a seat, the quicker that we can start eating. I am going to dismiss you from your table to go up and get the food, so please wait until I come by before you go up to the food. After you're eating, the deacons will be set up in the back at the 50-50 lottery ticket table. So if you would like to participate in the 50-50 or the lottery, you can do that then. We're asking that you please wear your mask when you're in McFadden when you're not eating. So once you're at your table and you have your food, take your mask off. We're not asking you to eat with your mask on. But if you go to the bathroom or if you are talking with people, just put your mask back on. For dessert, we have cookies and cupcakes. They're going to be on the table on the side. You'll see it when you get in there. And the deacons have already kind of sorted out individual servings of that. There are two coolers on the side where the drinks are. You can help yourself to the drink. And the deacons asked me to let you all know that the bathrooms are open in McFadden, so please feel free to use them as you need to. All right, I think those are all of the announcements. BJ has an announcement. Thank you. Okay, yes. So there's a bottle of hand sanitizer as you enter McFadden that you can use if you would like to. All right. Let us begin our worship of Almighty God with our call to worship. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flailed against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Shout to the Lord. The lyrics will be on the screens. Join with me now in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, as we're taking a seat, I invite you to greet one another by waving.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choirs and for our anthem. Sorry.
Are we singing?
No. No. Piano solo, my bad.
Thank you.
requests this morning from Kathy Segi. Kathy's asking for prayers for her sister Linda, who suffered from a stroke a few weeks ago. Fortunately, and prays that there was minimal damage, but she is still suffering. And she also wants to offer praise that the mass on her brain is not cancerous. And Kathy's also asking for prayers for herself regarding some test results that are very concerning. She's asking for prayers that the doctors can come together to find an effective course of treatment going forward. And I would also like to offer a personal prayer and praise request combined. For those people who have been able to get back out there and spend time with family, be it blood family, be it church family, we're glad to see all of you, be it neighbor family, whatever kind of family is your family, praise that people can get back together again with their families, and prayer for those who have not been able to do that, that they will be able to do it soon.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. We now offer up to you our concerns and our joys. We pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Today, Lord, we lift up to you Linda and Kathy. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be around or connect with their families right now. Lord, we pray for everyone who is feeling isolated, sad, and depressed as a result of this pandemic. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. We pray for our brothers and sisters in California who are battling wildfires. We continue to pray for a treatment and a vaccine for the coronavirus. And Lord, this week we lift up to you all of the kids who are returning to school this week in some shape or form. We pray that you would be with them as they adjust to a new reality. We pray that you would be with their parents as they guide them through this new reality. We pray that you would give everyone a special measure of grace and flexibility and patience in the coming weeks. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We give you thanks and praise that we are able to have our picnic this afternoon, a chance to share a meal together, a chance to socialize. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, for our time of offertory, I invite you to reflect on what about our lives needs to change so that we can follow God. give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from a few different ones. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 26, Revelations 19, 1 through 21. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out your flesh of heart of stone, and give you the heart of flesh. After this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice and great multitude in heaven crying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and the power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great herald who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And from the throne came a voice crying, Praise our God, all of you, his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of great multitude, like the sounds of many waters, like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon it called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like the flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has the name inscribed which no one knows but himself. He is clad in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on the white horses. From his mouth issues a sharp sword, which to smite the nations, he will roll them with a rod of iron, and he will tread wine when pressed the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On this robe and on his thigh, his name is described King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly in mid heaven, Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who sits upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had worked the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword of him who sits upon the horse and the sword that issues from his mouth, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever woken up woken up in the morning with one plan for your day, only to have something happen, and all of a sudden, whatever plans you had just aren't going to happen. That happened to me this past week. On Wednesday, I woke up thinking that I was going to spend most of the day preparing for our podcast recording that we do on Wednesday afternoon. But around 10 a.m. that morning, I got a text message from my friend Alan, one of the pastors that's working with Carissa and I for the podcast and for the sermon series. Alan told me that his cardiologist had found a 95% blockage in one of his coronary arteries and a pretty significant blockage in the other one as well. He was on his way to the hospital where they were going to put in two stents in the blocked artery, and he was likely going to have to go back to the hospital in a couple weeks to have a stent put in the other one. God is giving him a new heart. But this whole process has been really frightening to observe. Alan told me that they only learned that his artery had a 95% blockage as the cardiologist was putting the stent in. It was bad, very bad. See, my friend Alan is only 48 years old. He didn't have a heart attack, but he came as close to having one as you can. It was really frightening to watch, and it was frightening because he's in New Jersey and I am here in Pittsburgh. Over the weekend, I had a chance to talk with Alan and see how the surgery went and all of that. He said the surgery went fine, but he got a very stern lecture from his cardiologist. See, before this incident happened, his cardiologist has been telling him that he needs to lose weight. He needs to modify his diet. He doesn't exercise enough. All of these problems that were already there got worse during the quarantine. Also, Alan has a family history of heart disease. His father passed away from a heart attack in his 60s. But Alan told me instead of making changes, he made excuses. I'll start exercising again when my gym opens back up. I'll start eating healthier after the quarantine. New Jersey's still under basically a stay-at-home order. He was like, what else am I supposed to do while I'm at home but eat? He knew that he needed to change, but he didn't want to. Does this sound familiar? Friends, by now you should know that the book of Revelation is serious. Some would say as serious as a heart attack. Nobody wants to change, and we all dig in our heels when somebody suggests that we need to. I think this is why Revelation confronts us with such crazy, violent images. I think that's also why, as we saw last week, it offers satire in the form of the whore of Babylon. The reason that John gives us these images is he's trying to stir the seven congregations out of their complacency. He's shouting, "Wake up! Repent!" This is a message that we too need to hear. We are all complacent. We are all resistant to change. We all want other people to change, but not us. I saw a meme on Facebook this week that kind of gets at what John is trying to say here. I think it said something along the lines of how to frighten the new generation. Put them in a room with a rotary phone, an analog watch, and a TV with no remote. Then write the directions for how to use these things in cursive. Now, I will admit, when I first read this meme, it didn't make any sense to me. I don't know what a rotary phone is or an analog watch, and every TV that I have used has had a remote. I do think they taught me cursive in elementary school, but I don't really use it in my daily life. And now, the point of this is to illustrate that different generations are adept at using different means of communication. And I think this pandemic has taught the church that the church is particularly slow at adapting to new means of technology. And unfortunately, sometimes we use antiquated means of communication. And unfortunately, since communication has become so divided along generational lines, we're missing whole generations of people when we refuse to adapt to their technologies. Now, I will say, this pandemic has taught me, as a younger person, that the human voice is better than text messages, and that relationships are best when we engage face to face. Unfortunately, though, this pandemic has also taught me that some of our usual means of communicating, we just can't do right now. And that communication is actually key to being and staying in relationship with people. Our reading for today sketches out a vision of what this could look like. It shows the destruction of the enemies of the faithful, the whore of Babylon, the beast, and all of the false prophets. Chapter 19 of Revelation shows the vindication of all those who keep the faith, even if doing so cost them their lives. This chapter reminds us that the enemies of God will never have the final say. Chapter 19 begins with this image of a heavenly choir, voices of multitudes of people shouting, "Hallelujah!" They shout hallelujah four times as they offer praise to God and to the Lamb. As you're reading this passage, if you're hearing Handel's Hallelujah Choir, as Kathy was doing the reading, you aren't wrong. That is what this Revelation 19 is what that song is based on. Also in chapter 19, you'll see that Jesus is represented in two different ways in the book. In the first half of the book, Jesus is presented as the Lamb. We've talked about this a lot as we've gone through the book. But towards the latter half of the book, Jesus is represented as a rider on a white horse. I think sometimes we can get a little bit confused by this image because it's kind of a weird image. We've got a sword and flames and faces that shine like the sun. I think we want Jesus to be the one who vanquishes our enemies, but I don't think that's where the grace is in this part of the story. The grace is actually in this image of the Lamb. The rider on the white horse comes back into the scene to clear the way for the Lamb. There's a celebration in the heavens, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. What this story, no, what the entire book of Revelation is telling us is that if we want the grace, we have to fight for this relationship, because it is through this relationship with Jesus that there is grace. Through this relationship, there is salvation. And we all turn away from this relationship from time to time. We all collaborate with empire from time to time. And we all need to repent from time to time, because it is through this act of repentance that we restore our right relationship with God. I think sometimes we can think of sin as kind of a collection of bad behavior on our part. And I think that's an overly simple understanding of sin. Sin is also a category of relationship. Sin happens when we do the things that separate us from God or that separate us from one another. We all do this from time to time. And the only way to get back in right relationship with God and with one another is to repent. This means, unfortunately, that we will always be working on our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. This means that we have to constantly reach out to people that we have wronged and do the work of repentance to restore those relationships. Now, this is scary, I know. Nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to do the work of repentance. But I do have some good news. We have already started to do this. Friends, when you head over into McFadden, you will see a picnic that took months and months of planning, months of communication, months of changing the way that we typically do things. I am so incredibly proud of everyone who helped make that possible. It would not have been possible pre-pandemic. But friends, the only way that it was possible was when we stepped outside of our comfort zones, when we started thinking and imagining what could it look like for us to gather together, given the restrictions that we are under, so we can hang out with each other, see one another face to face, share a meal, but also keep everybody safe. This is how we live into the grace that's described in Revelation and in the passage from the prophet Ezekiel. This is what it means to be given a new heart and a new spirit. When God grants us a new heart and a new spirit, we are called, we are obligated to put it to use. Repentance is not a single event. It is a continual call to relationships and engagement. Friends, the call is for all of us, not just pastors, not just deacons, not just session members. We all have to practice relationship and serve as witness to God's love for the world. We have to engage with people who maybe think differently than we do, who hold passionate views that are different than ours. We have to learn to speak to them in ways that they can hear and on platforms they inhabit. Only then can we proclaim to them that Jesus is Lord and he will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to join with me for our closing hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. The lyrics will be on the screen. friends, immediately following the postelude, I invite you to join us in McFadden for our church picnic. But before we go, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.